This is the second tape done in a continuation of a conversation with Edwin Herlash on May 12, 1976. We talked to him about fishing, which he did commercially for some time, and the interview was held at his home in Algoma. The interviewers are Linda Green and Dorothy Heinrich.
But at that time, when they first met the floats, they started using boiled linseed oil. And they'd dip them in there, they'd neem dry. They'd string them on seaming twine, just like this year. Maybe turf, they wanted. And then they'd hang them and let them drip. And they'd dry out just as hard as, but that hot stuff, just so it wouldn't boil or burn. Over, you know, because they do work right in there and seal that. Well, sometimes after they had three coats, there were no more bare spots. They were well coated. Well, then they were done. They were ready to put on the nets at any time. But then they came with the aluminum floats. But the first aluminum floats they came out with, they only had a ridge here and a ridge on this end.
They had a ridge at both ends?
Yeah, just where you could fasten your twine, with your seaming twine right on your meter cord, see, underneath. But then if they got them in deep water, and they'd get smashed sometimes, you know. There was no strength to them, see. So they made them this way.
With the ridges all the way
along? All the ridges, for just like they're doing with an automobile today, making crooked fenders and everything else, that's just to reinforce your steel. Well, this is the same principle.
Who would make those? Did you get those in Green Bay?
No, I mostly got all mine out of Chicago or Manitowoc. But now, they got all plastic floats. But they got twine now, they don't have to boil no more.
You boiled your twine? What did you boil it in?
Well, in the vat.
In cleaning them.
In cleaning them, yeah. Wash your nets, you had to boil them. This year you could boil.
Oh.
See? And your cedar floats too. We'd even put them in, and they turn white. But then afterward they'd come back to color again.
Why don't they boil the twine now?
Because it's a different twine, they don't have to boil it. The dirt don't stick onto it. Mm. And they can lift them out of the water now and put them in leave them in a box all summer. They will not rot.
Mr. Herlash, we're talking about twine, and I think I know what you're talking about. But somebody else, is it twine? Is the fisherman's name for the nets that you
use?
That's
right. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. What it is. So now they got the plastic, so they don't have to boil. See? Mm-hmm. So they're using plastic all the way through. It's light. Mm-hmm. And plastic is cheaper than aluminum, too. Everything getting to be plastic. Mm-hmm. Plastic all over.
How about this?
This hall here? Well, that's... there ain't nothing to it, but you take a round piece of wood or one that's mm-hmm. flat or anything today.
So you'd make your own. Just stick in the end of it here.
Well, you drive a nail in there and then you cut it off and then you grind it off a little bit.
Mm. And what did you use it for?
Just for picking the fish out and pulling the twine away from the heads and gills. And mm-hmm. that's all what we use it for. Mm-hmm. The boys are still using them today.
Are they making them themselves?
Oh, yeah, they're still making. I was up there and seen the boys. I got some fish. They're eating smelts. They're fishing smelts and killing it. They got the thing that they're using, the same thing. There's a lot of things they're still using the same, as far as that goes.
Which other things are the same?
Like your small shuttles for mending, your big shuttles, they're all the same. Your leads are all the same now, as these here. They're all put a hole through it.
Would they make their own leads?
Hmm?
Would they mold their own lead at this point?
I don't know if they're doing today, because there's so darn many of them all over. They're picking a lot of them up, you know, you can buy them, you know. Mm-hmm. There's even some, I even got here, I bet you, probably 100 pounds of them yet.
Hmm.
I got no use for them.
Did you make the whole net?
Oh, yes.
You made the whole big 100-foot net?
The twine we always bought.
The net?
The net part, the fine stuff, the mesh part, we bought. That come out through a jet mill of some kind. I don't know how they made it. That I don't know.
But if it got a hole in it?
Then we mend them.
And you made the edges too, didn't you?
Yeah, and mend them back together. Supposing you run out like a piece of cloth where you sew another piece to it. Well, we mend that into another mesh. See, we made another mesh so you couldn't hardly tell it only but the little knots that were in there. See, we took a mesh. Oh, that's hard to show you. Here it is. See, a mesh is square, so that when we come in here, we'd run a shuttle through here and then around back through, and that would pull this shut together. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That would make a square corner. Wherever the other one was, that's where we do the same thing. And we'd go around and mend the whole thing up with the fine thread. And the same thing in your pond nets and your fight nets or drop nets or hook nets, what you want to call them. You got so many different names for them. First them, they were tired. But if we had a tear, we had to use new twine.
Did you say they were tarred?
Oh, yes. Your pond nets and your fight nets, or hooks nets, they were all tarred.
Did you do that?
No, I never fished the pond nets very much.
Why did they?
It took a big kettle and just get your tar so not too hot because it would burn. It would start a fire and it would burn your twine, your cotton, because it's a cotton twine. See, but now they don't tar that no more neither. They're all out of that now. They just. Got that same, made it out of the same stuff as the gill nets are.
Why didn't you fish pond nets?
Well, you can't hardly do two things at the same time.
So most fishermen either did one or the other?
Most of them did. One that be fishing pond nets, he'd be fishing pond nets. Mm-hmm. The other guy would be fishing gill nets unless you got more than one crew and enough help to do it.
Mm. Did most of the Belgians do one or the other?
Yeah, one or the other.
But did most Belgians fish pond nets?
A lot of them fish pond nets the year round.
Of the Belgian people.
Yeah, I was wondering if more Belgians fish pond nets than the other. Yeah.
They're fishing herring. That's what they were fishing. But today they ain't another herring. Herring are gone.
The weight of the twine for the cord that you used in the... Now, the gill net, I noticed the one that you got for us is a very fine net.
You mean the meter cord or the seaming twine? Or the meshes,
mesh. That was very fine thread, like
real,
this.
Real fine thread.
Why?
The finer they are, The less the fish sees it, and the better the fish, because they cut in easier, the hole, you know what I mean? The coarser they are, well, they lead them. This with a gill.
Were there any regulations about the size of the
grits? No, there had never been.
But the hole, there was a regulation for the size of the hole when you stretched it.
For the size of the mesh, there was a law on that. It had to be just so.
Were there any laws in your grandfather's time about those things? Do you know?
Not by what he mm-hmm. told me. Mm-hmm. I think it was because they were catching sturgeons and they were catching everything. There was no law on that. Mm-hmm. All the other fish the same way.
Now the mesh for this, in the pond net, for this heart,
yeah,
was that this real fine?
No, seeming twine. And even probably heavier twine than this is yet.
And why was that?
Because they got to stand the weather a whole lot more. See, they're up to the surface more. Mm. Especially the fishermen in the summertime. And then in the summertime they put poles, you know, to drive stakes in. Then they got anchors where they put in to stretch their hearts. They call this the heart, see. Mm. And the fish gets in there and it goes out. But this year he should have had another funnel in here. Two funnels in here. So when they get in, they always come back to the outside and they never find that hole they went through, see. And then, so they always work into the pot.
So on this one, you don't care if the fish can see on the heart. You don't care if the fish can see the net or the mesh.
No, because they're leading.
What do they do when they lead?
When they lead, that's when they follow it. They follow this. They can see this, and they can't. They can't get by this. They can't get across this. So they're not going to come back to shore here, because they know they're going to shallow water. So they're working themselves out. Follow the lead, but then they get in the heart here, and then from the heart they get into the pot.
Now, what's the lead made out of? What does it look like?
Just like a gill net, only it's made out of seaming twine. And made out of a heavy rope on the bottom and a heavier rope on top. Of course, today they're not using as heavy a rope because they got better stuff. But at that time they used manila rope. And they put a heavy sinker on the bottom and a bigger float on top so it would float. Today they're using these plastic floats. You can see them floating on them nets along the river, along the road here. If it came early enough, I'd have taken you out and put field glass out there and you could have looked at it, for sure.
And then the net in the pot, the net that was used for the pot, or the mesh that was used for the pot, that was the tarred net. Is that correct?
The hard is here. This is the pot.
Yeah, for the pot.
Yeah.
Was that, what kind of mesh was in there?
Same as your hearts and everything. And if you wanted, like today, they got smelts. Well, they got a real small mesh, real fine, so they can't get through, see? But years ago, what we used to use was, I'd say about a 2.5 inch. Because by the time they're tired, they're down. Mm. And the herring. And we used to get some quite small herrings too, but even shorter than this hall. Yeah. But this ain't just the way we used to make them. We used to make another 2 loops in here, 2 small hearts.
And the heart acted as kind of a trap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they had a 3 strings in there that would pull out inside the heart this way, see, to keep that heart open, the tip of the heart, mm-hmm. so they'd get in, wouldn't shut. Otherwise, it'd be not in there to hold it. It would collapse, see.
Would you buy a net like this complete?
Oh, sure, you wouldn't buy it complete.
And would you have earlier?
Hmm?
Or would you have made any of this yourself?
Oh, sure. They used to make them, every one of them.
You'd make the hearts, and you'd make the pot down here.
A long time you could buy all the twine strung the same as the gill nets. Mm-hmm. See, and then you, no matter what depth you wanted, if you wanted a 20-foot depth, 30, that's the way they went. They went according to depth.
How long was that lead?
That lead? Well, it all depends. Some of them runs quite long leads, but if they're too long, they don't work neither. They work off. The official lead just about so far, and then they seem as though they shear off, you know what I mean? They don't follow.
They get tired of it and swim away from it.
So I'd say 400 or 500 feet is about mm-hmm. longest that I've ever seen in them.
The fish don't get tangled up in that lead net because they can see. Is that why?
Never. The only place that you'll get one caught in there is one that's probably a little bit small, and when you go to lift to pull the heart up, the pot up, to get the fish out, you might get him into a mesh and he can't get through. You got to pull him out or get him out of there. Mm-hmm.
So you said that
years ago, this was all handwork. Mm-hmm. We had them great big dip nets like they got today. It's all handwork. You know, dip them all out by hand.
Oh, then there was another kind of a net, a dip net that you actually had to dip.
A dip net, I'd say maybe 2 feet in diameter, you know, or smaller, it depends, you know.
How did you make those?
Well, we just knit them just same as them that you buy. Start stringing your twine, come down into a funnel. And go in there and just dip them out and flop them out.
Wait, you dip them out of where?
Out of the pot. See, when you lift this pot here, you close this heart this here, and then you take the twine, you start pulling the twine up.
On the outside?
From these two corners, and you pull that up, and you bring it up on this side, and you put your boat on that side.
Your boat on the far end, away from shore.
And this line here holds this here stretched back here, see what I mean? To hold that heart tight and open. Mm-hmm. And then that when you let it go, it shuts that. So the fish that's here stays here. Mm-hmm. They got to find a way up. And then you start pull the twine until you get it up high enough so you can get hold of your twine. You keep pulling your twine up until you get it up all to the surface and get them all up. It's hard work.
So do these start from shore then? Close to shore?
Pretty close, yeah.
Okay, and did each fisherman have a certain spot on shore then that he would
Well, it set them anywhere. There's a lot of places all along Greenville Shore. There's a lot of pond net stakes that are still in there, and they're broken. Mm-hmm. See the storm comes up and the ice runs over them and breaks them down. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can't get them out. Mm-hmm. And then you get in there with your twine and you get hooked up and tear up your twine. But they're mostly all the fishermen in the wintertime would fish just about in the same spot. They had spots that was better than others, which they had tried, you know, mm-hmm. from one year to the other, and that's where they'd go back to.
What if someone else had taken your spot? What would happen then?
Well, sometimes the other guy set one on the other side of him.
Did people pretty much know who had which spot?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They knew pretty well who was. Well, they knew everybody.
Yeah.
It was all local people.
Who was one of the best fishermen? Besides Mr. Herlash.
No, I don't know. I ain't going to call myself the best fisherman, as far as that goes. because there's still guys that's fishing today that were fishing when I was fishing, but not on Green Bay water.
Not on Green Bay water. Was there anyone who was known as a Belgian person who was known as a particularly good fisherman?
Well, I don't know. There were several of them, I suppose. I don't know. They were all pretty much all alike, as far as that goes, as much as I know.
You all kind of shared your knowledge and...
Yeah, more or less, we didn't know.
But no one had a reputation?
No, we never. If one needed help, well, we helped them.
What kinds of things could come up that they needed help with?
Well,
you remember any of that? I mean, what...
Oh yes, I've seen guys sometimes that had to pull out their pond nets in the spring of the year when the ice is just about ready to go out, and you got to get it out, or you got to go out there and work it loose and let it drop to the bottom and pick it up later with a boat.
So what would happen in that case? Would he call you up, or?
Well, they'd just call us up and we'd go out and give him a hand.
Isn't that kind of risky when the ice is starting to go out?
Oh yes, it is. It's sometimes you go right straight through it. Sometimes I've seen already we had to put boards to walk around it. You know, it was wore out from under so much and so thin, really rotten. But that you can take the twine out until the ice is pretty well rotted, because the way the twine is put in. Your meter, your big rope on top, is on top of the ice when it's set. See, they cut a slot so they can move this cake of ice here inside either way. And then when it's set, they got the twine out, they push it just so, then they got sticks. They stick it right underneath that meter cord. Like you take that meter cord up there and run it through and leave it set on the ice this way. All along to hold it up. See what I mean?
Oh, the ice supports it then.
Yeah, the ice supports it, then it freezes up. You never chop that open. You only want to open is these holes to get the hards and back here to pull your twine to get the fish out.
So, over 3/4 of the pot is covered with ice.
It's all of it.
Yeah, except for the little...
excepting the place where they got to get in to get the fish out.
Oh, you just leave a little hole here where to get the fish out.
You got your line here, but you got to cut that ice to get that line loose so you can slack up to close the hards, see? And then you got to get in there to be able to start to pull your twine, see, back up. To work your fish over here to dip them out.
Why didn't you care for pot fishing or the pound net fishing? Why did you like the gill net better?
Because if the ice moved, you lost too much money, for one thing. See, your gill nets, if the ice wasn't safe, we'd set them what they call blind. Or set them with a piece of seaming twine like this here on your heavy anchor. And if the ice would go, that'd snap and your nets would stay there. And you knew your nets off, and after you got one net, your grapple, to pick up that net, you just go out and run a pole through and then pull a grappler through to pick them up. And after you got the distance from that hole to here, you knew just where to get the next one at the anchor line. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then you could pick up all your nets. But this year, when it went, it went. It was gone.
Did your grandfather fish with... the gill nets too?
Pond nets?
No, did he do the same kind of net, use the same kind of net as you did?
Why, yes, the only thing they had to go to them sticks right. and stones and all that stuff.
Right, but he taught you how to do the same kind as you
mm-hmm.
did
much
later
the same.
On. Mm-hmm. What about these sticks? What were they used for?
They're used for floats.
Uh-huh. And what were they made out of?
Well, cedar, the biggest part of them, that was what split the straightest or nice clear pine.
Right. But these you didn't treat with linseed oil.
They didn't have any.
Oh,
they didn't have any linseed oil.
So they couldn't treat them with anything.
They had nothing at all to treat them until they got the linseed oils like everything else. We got material today that we didn't have 10 or 5 years ago,
yeah.
put it that way.
So that was why your mother
yeah.
would go along, or some of the other girls, and dry these.
They had to dry them every day, all day. That's all they done, besides their cooking and taking care of the other stuff.
There must have been a huge number of these.
Oh, yes.
When did you make
those? If they had 30 floats, we'd say to one net, they had to have 30 of these. So you can imagine, it depends on the quantity, how many nets they had. And then they had to have a whole extra bunch so they could have some dry ones to replace the wet ones.
When did you make things like this? In the summertime? Or?
Well, I never made them.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But I knew how Grandpa showed me how to make them, see. Mm-hmm. And they made them, I suppose, in the summertime or whenever they had spare time, rainy day or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was all inside work.
There was never a dull moment for a fisherman, apparently.
No, there just still ain't today.
Do you ever kind of get homesick for the fishing?
Oh, I always liked to fish. I always loved fishing. I don't know why. And now, since I've been back here, I don't even go hook fishing.
But you go down to the docks?
I go down to the dock and talk to the boys and go out and get some fish from them and stuff like that. But their stuff was all different, every bit of it. If you'd come out here on a Sunday or any time during the week, they could take you up there and show you a lot of stuff they got. And it's the same as what I've told you here now. You're on your pond nets and that stuff. Of course, you ain't going to find no fight nets. Not around here. You'd have to go to probably Petsaki or Swamico. They probably got them there yet.
That was the one where you had two nets sitting opposite each other.
The hoops, yeah.
The hoops. Yeah. And why can't you have them here? Is that?
Hmm?
Are you not allowed to have them here? Or why aren't they here and that there's something?
Well, there's no fish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they abolished them or not. I don't know. But the reason why they didn't fish them anymore, well, the emperor used to come in and kill all the fish.
Yeah. Do people still fish with their families?
Hmm?
Are people fishing with their families still? Didn't you fish mostly with relatives?
No, I never had no family. I never had no boys. I only had two girls, and I always had to get hired help.
You did hire help?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Were those Belgians you worked with?
Oh, Belgians, Germans, and made no difference.
Mm-hmm.
They're all good workers.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't too fussy who... Food was as long as somebody was willing to work. And I remember that when I started, 50 cents a day.
50 cents a day?
Morning room and their...
Oh, they stayed with you?
Oh, yeah, they stayed with me. And they had their clothes washed.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd come home in the evening and we'd come off the ice in the wintertime. We still had 22 head of cows to milk.
Mm. How did you find those people? Did you advertise somehow, or you asked
No,
around?
You just go out, the guys looking, that's got a big family, and they got nothing to do. They just got their farm, and there's too many of them in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are they going to do? You couldn't buy a job.
Mm-hmm.
did they serve sort of apprenticeships at any time, you know, some young fellow come to you and work with you and learn the trade and then go off and learn to fish
himself? Oh, yes. That's the way we all started.
Yeah.
You did that, too.
Mm-hmm. Besides, I worked with an old, well, I don't know what nationality he was, but Pelger was his name. I don't know what nationality that would be. I helped him when I was quite young.
Mm-hmm. How old were you about?
Oh, about 17, mm-hmm. 18.
And so he taught you some more about fishing there.
Oh, yes. And then I helped Jerry Lovelett. That was Godfrey Lovelett's dad. See, Godfrey and I, and at that time, were the ones that went in on that pollution. But I helped him, too. He's the guy I always use. I remember. I never forget him. I'd be noontime, we'd eat our lunch. See, we always carried lunch with it. He'd all holler at me. He said, "No, I says, you're eating too fast. No wonder you got gas all the time. He says, take your time." Well, I says, "We got to get the work done." No, he says, "No, no, no."
What did he look like?
Hmm?
What did he look like? Was he a big man or a small man?
No, he was an average-sized man. Oh. About the same as the Belgians, you know. Same thing. Very nice fellow. They all were. Oh,
did you talk Walloon? Is that the way you communicated in Belgium, or did you talk English mostly when you were working together? Or?
Well, yes, with some of them, we had mostly English. Our Belgian, we had mostly or less home, or if we got words, which was we knew was a Belgian, mm-hmm. or he'd talk Belgian to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because still today, I know, like this last Saturday, we went to Little Sturgeon, and there's a Ross up there. Well, this junk art that you were talking about, these pond nets, yes, Grandpa, he was Joe Junkart, and he was a son of him. And he's got a Traver nightclub up in there. And he could talk Belgian just like what 50 years ago.